Welcome to Comics,
episode 233. This week, we talk about
Mobile Suit Gundam, the origin, activation.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. And now, the past.
Shinji is like a coward, and he's okay until he gets in the Eva, and then he has like asshole PTSD. Like, you can't tell if he's just a douche or is like having mental trauma. In the movies, he's just like the biggest fucking awful teenager douche nozzle there ever was. He's like everything stereotypically bad about teenagers.
Yeah, it's only 20. I don't know. For some reason, I always thought this was like super long. But yeah, now I'm looking at it. It's 26 episodes.
It feels long at times.
And there's a lot of hype.
Like,
well, I guess hype's not the right word. It's popular because for some reason.
It's like kind of one of the seminal psychological ending animes. It was a very famous 90s anime.
It's possible to create a lovable show that has lots and lots of flaws. Like, my go-to is always fucking Dragon Ball. Everybody has wonderful nostalgia for Dragon Ball, and there are fights that I remember that were fucking awesome, and moments that I remember still, and then there's like, okay, capsule thing, stupid, the dumb high school years for Goku, and of course all of the powering up, that stuff.
Well, see, that's the problem. Like, DBZ and stuff like that holds a place in my heart because despite all of its problems, it's still, like, there's a niceness and nostalgia around it. For Evangelion, it is actually a really well-done show that is not lovable, I would argue. Like, it does have flaws, but the other thing, too, is it's... So I think the creator intended to make it... He was just offered a time slot, by the way. Like, they were like, you're good at what you do. Make a show. Make it anything. So he made a robot show to try to bring in more otakus to
like
anime.
You do. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think by the end... I don't know how true this statement is, but I've heard it in multiple places. It's meant to be a giant indictment against otakus. So the focus is like on psychological isolationism and on, you know, what happens to people when they refuse to accept responsibility for their own lives, that kind of thing. And that's actually really well done. I'm seeing on the second watch through, but oh my God, it's not a lovable show.
Yeah, it already sounds a little annoying.
Yeah, like, I would say if you want to rewatch something from that era, make it Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, Cowboy Bebop. That's a lovable show. And yeah. I rewatched that again with somebody, fuck, who was it? I guess this was like 4 years ago now, because it was with a woman that's not my wife, so it's been a while. But it did hold up really, really well.
Yeah, I'm rewatching everything that was like on Toonami, and some things are just way better than others.
Yeah.
You know what? I would really like to watch Outlaw Star again.
Wait, that's one I haven't seen.
Do you remember that show, Jen? It was on Toonami.
Man, Toonami.
Let me look at a screenshot from it. I think I will remember.
It kind of reminded me of like a combo of Cowboy Bebop, but then also it had some shades of Tenchi Muyo in it.
Oh.
I really liked Tenchi as a kid also.
I did too. Tenchi. You know, Tenchi has not held up for me. I've tried rewatching it. It just... I'm kind of like, why did I like this?
There has to be a fucking Toonami. I have so many memories of everything that happened during that, like, thing. That was on Adult Swim, right? Or Cartoon Network in general?
It was a Cartoon Network afternoon block of shows.
Do they make a Gundam of that stupid fucking robot that hosted it? Because I honestly would build that now.
No, he was not a Gundam.
No. No, but they could make a model kit. They make model kits for everything, I'm finding out.
I don't think they made a model kit for him.
Let me see. Toonami model kit.
His name is Tom.
Yeah. Toonami model kit. Gundam Wing model kit promo? Oh, no, that was commercials for Gundam Wing.
Yeah, it's because it's American, and they'll make a toy of anything that's Japanese, but U.S. toy creators just won't do it.
Oh, well. There goes that. Now I don't have to do it.
Womp womp.
Well, anyways, so the whole, you know, one of the biggest things about Toonami was that it had Gundam Wing, and G Gundam afterwards.
Hmm.
Although I think those shows in Japan and aired in the other way. I think G Gundam was first, and followed by Gundam Wing.
I think that is correct.
Sure. I speak with no authority. Those were the things that I didn't watch on Toonami. I watched, like, all kinds of other shit on there.
But... Well, so Gundam Wing, I think, is probably the best gateway Gundam show.
I agree with that as well.
And G Gundam... Oh, go ahead, Jen. Sorry.
Oh. Like, I want to say... Some of that is just because we grew up with it, but it's, like, very likable.
Yeah, I think that actually holds up pretty well. The dub from Cartoon Network, I actually have the DVD set that is the dub from Cartoon Network. The dub's a little rough, but the show holds up pretty well. I think it's definitely watchable 10, 15 years later. I think it's even older than that. Because it was in Japan first, and then it wasn't simulcast. But yeah, it's a great show. A G Gundam, man. If Jen, have you watched G Gundam?
I've seen a couple episodes. I have not watched all of it.
So that show is, man, it's kind of silly, is an understatement. But the premise of that show, it deviates from the whole war aspect, and it's kind of like they made a Street Fighter cartoon with Gundams.
That sounds awesome, though.
So all the countries of Earth have a space station, like a space colony, and the wealthy elite live on the space stations, and everybody else kind of lives on Earth. And every, I think, 4 years, they basically have this thing like Gundam fight, where each country has a Gundam that represents it, and they fight in this huge tournament, and whoever wins the tournament, their country, like, controls the space. They control the Earth, or... I don't know, for like the next 4 years until the next Gundam fight. And so the show follows Domon Kashu, who is the pilot for Neo Japan. All the countries have Neo in front of them now, because it's the future.
Because it's a new version of that country from
before. So Neo Japan. And in Gundam Build Fighters Try, Sekkai uses Build Burning Gundam. And in the US version of G Gundam, Domon's character is Gundam is called Burning Gundam. In Japan, it was actually called God Gundam, but you know, America, so they didn't want to call it God Gundam.
Yeah.
And so there, each country has its own Gundam, and man, they get kind of stereotypical and even slightly racist, the Gundams, because they look just like a lot of them take cues from stereotypes about their countries. So, like, for example, Neo Mexico's Gundam has a sombrero and a mustache.
Of course.
I think Neo Denmark's Gundam is basically a fish. It's like a, it's like if a Gundam put on a fish costume. They're crazy.
Yeah. It's,
the American Gundam is actually pretty funny. So he's red, white, and blue, of course.
Duh.
He has a football helmet on. He rides a thing that looks like a surfboard. It's like a flying surfboard. He has two pistols.
Yeah. And
his shoulder pads are like oversized, and I think, well, at least in the model, you could take the shoulder pads off, I think, and put them on his hands, and they are basically boxing gloves.
Oh my god.
Merca.
This guy sounds fucking awesome, actually. I know it's supposed to be a parody of us as a country, but I kind of like it.
So, it's called Maxter Gundam, and it's actually one of the more prominent ones in the show.
He's probably one of the more powerful ones, too. I mean, Merca.
I think I think Domon fights him early in the show, and then he comes back later. But it's pretty funny. The character who's the pilot for Neo Hong Kong. His name is Master Asia, and he's Domon's teacher. Like he taught Domon how to fight, and then they have to fight because it's, you know, because Master Asia is fighting for Neo Hong Kong. But it's silly, right? But it's actually pretty entertaining. It's a pretty entertaining show.
It's perfectly possible to be entirely silly and really fun. And
it just totally, it's like a huge departure from the normal Gundam story.
Yeah, I didn't know how like super serious Gundam was as a franchise before I read this thing.
That's what's interesting about Gundam is there. You know, it's been around for a really long time, and the majority of it is super serious, because it's like, it's about war, right? But then there's these kind of silly ones like G Gundam and Build Fighters and stuff. So, I think the reason that the show has had such longevity is because it successfully translates its core, which is the Gundam, into different settings. So, that's what's interesting about it. Like, and some of the shows are very similar, like Gundam Seed reminds me a lot of the original Gundam series. Gundam 00 reminds me a lot of Gundam Wing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like a small group of pilots fighting against like an oppressive regime. They're almost like terrorists, the Gundam pilots in 00 and Wing, and there's like five of them. There's a lot of parallels between the shows, but they're able to successfully translate them into continued success, right? But you know, some shows are better received than others, and it's really like a personal taste too. Like Gundam 00 is supposed to be one of the better ones, and I don't like it that much. But it's still pretty good. It's not one of my favorite of the Gundam series, but
I mean that is a plus with Gundam having been around for so long and being such a prolific subgenre of anime, is that there's probably something out there for whatever your taste is.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're gonna get there with a lot of other genres. Like comic books is kind of moving that way now. Like there's the fun, there's the straightforward, there's the action, there's the gritty stuff, of course, like, because that's a big enough subgenre of film and television.
Yeah, legit. I mean, things like Breaking Bad are really popular, and I'd say that show's pretty gritty.
Yeah, that's the definition. So you guys ready to talk about this week's comic?
Yep.
Yes.
This week's comic.
Yeah, yeah. This week, we're starting our Gundam series. So excited.
Why do you laugh?
I'm excited. I've been waiting for this because we've been unable to not talk about Gundams as part of our witty banter for like 2 months now. So I'm excited we can finally get out of our systems.
Officially talk about it?
Yes. So this week we read the manga Mobile Suit Gundam The Origin, Volume 1, Activation by Yoshikazu Yasuhiko from 2001. This is apparently it's a manga retelling of the 1979 anime Mobile Suit Gundam. Correct. And apparently Yoshikazu Yasuhiko did the character design on the original anime. So it's not some random person retelling the story, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
So I want to say, this is my, like, so being a member of the internet, I've always known what a Gundam is in the abstract. And when we decided to build Gundams and do this whole Gundam thing, I knew nothing, and I picked my Gundam out because I thought it looked cool. And up until reading this yesterday, I had no idea what the storyline was for Gundams at all. So my first question for all of you is, what was your initial exposure to Gundams like?
Oh, okay. So mine actually goes way back to 1989.
Ooh.
So I'm a quarter Japanese, for those who don't know. My mom was born in Japan, and we have family that still live there. And so I've gone to visit people in Japan many times. And, in the late 80s, my cousin, and his parents lived in Japan. And so, he's a couple years younger than me. But when we went to visit in Japan, his dad, my uncle, was really into Gundam. So as kids, it was just always kind of around in the background. My main exposure was through the Gunpla models initially. And then I, you know, one of the first ones I ever got was the SD version of the MS-18E Kampfer mobile suit from the War in the Pocket OVA. And so that kind of has always been my favorite mobile suit. And War in the Pocket is actually a pretty good little movie. It's set in the Universal Century timeline, so it's the same storyline as the comic we're reading.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, since then, I wouldn't say I was like a huge Gundam fan outside of the, outside of the building the models when I was a kid until, like a lot of people here in the U.S., when Gundam Wing appeared on Toonami, I really, like, got into it.
Yeah.
I started building the Gundam Wing models, and then G Gundam came out, and I started doing the G Gundam models. Because those were easy to find. Like, they were all over the place, because they were, at least in stores that I frequented as a kid, because, you know, they were on TV, so people wanted to build the kits. Probably about 12, 15 years ago, I kind of, stopped building the models, and, you know, I still watched the show occasionally, but, for some reason, I don't, like, when, right around the time we started talking about Gundam on our show, I can't recall why what drew me back into it, but lately I've been, like, really hard up on Gundam. So
I think we got into the Gundam thing because you had found them in a closet or something and decided you wanted to build one. Like, you found an old kit, and then it got us talking about Gundams, and then I was like, well, I want to build one. And then Jen's like, I've got one laying around. So that's like how it's, I think it, we started on the show after you found one. So not like we started talking about it, but straight up, you are the reason we're doing Gundam.
So it turns out I have now I have 6 unbuilt kits, and I found some of my built ones, and looking at them now, it's like, man, I didn't really know how to build them. I just kind of snapped them together, when I was a kid, because they're unpainted, no line details or anything. They're pretty rough, but you know, when I was a kid, it was basically, I got to build my own action figure.
Which is sick.
I think you said that exact line to me, Andy, when we were, we were in the car the other day. And so, you know, even though they're not great, It was still fun to find them. I think at some point I might disassemble them and do touch-up work and repaint them and stuff. Cause I have some cool ones. Like I have Death Scythe from, which is my favorite one from, Gundam Wing. And, you know, the Nataku gun or Ultron Gundam, the dragon one from Gundam Wing that Jen was talking about a couple, mentioned a couple weeks ago, Jen.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a high grade model of that. It's just really poorly assembled, but well, it's the one from Endless Waltz, which is the Gundam Wing movie.
That's a name I've heard before. Endless Waltz.
Yeah, so that, Endless Waltz is the I don't know if it's a movie or an OVA, but it's like the sequel to the Gundam Wing series. But yeah, so that's kind of my story with Gundam. Very brief. What was really exciting when I pulled out the old kits is I like I had said a few minutes ago that the first kit that I had was the Camp for SD, and I actually found it. It's assembled,
nice.
And it's missing a bunch of its like accessories. He only has his one gun. But man,
I've already lost the accessories for the one that I built.
I was so excited to
find
it.
And I'm an adult.
It made me so happy to find that one. So
that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool because now you have memories built around it and stuff, and that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Jen?
Back in high school, when I was president of the anime club, such an austere title.
You were so cool.
I was the coolest kid.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that so mocking. I was in the club that played Axis and Allies after school. I'm not going to be on any high horse.
No, I meant it mocking. It's fun to make fun of. So we had like one Japanese kid in anime club, and he owned all the anime that we watched. Like he just had this extensive collection.
Nice.
And he would bring in stuff, and this was like, so we were poor. You had a really hard time finding anything. There wasn't too much on DVD at the time. And he would bring in stuff like straight from Japan. So he had all of Gundam Wing.
Nice.
And we watched that. And then we watched Endless Waltz. And yeah, I mean, that was pretty much my only exposure, and then whatever was playing on Toonami at any given time.
Man, Toonami, there's no denying the effect that like, block of cartoon had on people our age.
Yeah.
Who were already a little bit nerdy, and then Toonami happened to be on, and then we were really nerdy after that. Yeah, so this
they
is
were,
my first
They were just speaking our language, right?
Yeah, well, and they were speaking your language, and they it was more than that. Like, okay, I'll pontificate for just a second. It's that moment when, like, you're watching cartoons, and you're like, okay, this is kind of funny. All right, sure, this is kind of fun. All right, there's action. It's when you realize that not only is there stuff out there that's even more in your ballpark, but there are people out there who made it. People out there who sat around talking about and bullshitting with your friends the same way you did. And then there's somewhere in the world, there's enough of an audience to make this a viable thing to keep making. It was things like Toonami. I'm getting way too like nostalgic on just a basic like block of animated shows. But there are things when we were younger, when you're nerdy, that just like kind of give you a hug and be like, it's okay. It'll be all right. There are other nerds out there and it'll be okay.
Well, I think back when we were kids and even when we were teenagers, the saturation of nerd culture was not pop culture then like it is today. And, you know, maybe that makes me sound a little bit like a hipster, but that's the truth, you know, like when back in my day, it wasn't cool to be a nerd, right?
Yeah.
I thought
we were still in the generation people that got made fun of for it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's
now
fine.
We rule the earth.
It doesn't bother me.
So my question, since this is my initial exposure, what is it that makes a Gundam a Gundam? And I'm not asking, like, in an abstract way, but, like, this RX-78, was it 78 or 87?
78.
This RX-78 fucking tore up those Zakus, who apparently just mobile suits. And so is Gundam, like, the RX-78's name, like, it's the mobile suit Gundam versus, like, mobile suit Zaku? So then what are all these other Gundams that I hear about? I don't know if this is too loaded of a question to put at the front of the show, but I honestly don't know what a Gundam is after reading this. So I thought I knew, and now I'm just more confused.
So a Gundam, the word Gundam means differs between the different shows.
Okay.
So it depends. Sometimes it's an acronym. So okay. Like,
if I can see that.
I had to look it up to remember what the acronym for Universal. So Universal Century is the timeline that we read.
Yeah.
Gundam often, according to the wiki page, Gundam often stands for General Purpose Utility, Non-Discontinuity Augmentation Maneuvering Weapon System.
Wait.
I think originally, so it stands for General Purpose Utility, Non-Discontinuity Augmentation Maneuvering. That's Gundam.
And then okay.
In
this timeline, it seems like the idea of a mobile suit is already well established. Like,
yes.
The white base, is that what the name of the ship? Like, they have a launching system for this thing, like, already. So I'm getting the sense, like, the RX-78 is just codenamed Gundam.
Right.
Is that way off base?
No, that's exactly correct.
Yes.
Gundam is just like a new reader. The Gundam RX-78 in the manga and anime is just it's a new type of mobile suit. Like, you know, when the army comes out with like the stealth bomber or something, you know, it's like that kind of thing. It's a new, better weapon.
Okay.
As an example of Gundam meaning something else is in Gundam Wing, the Gundams are made out of a metal called Gundanium. And that's why they're called Gundams.
That's the dumbest name. Oh no.
Why? I mean,
I don't know. There's a lack of creativity behind it.
Just roll with it.
It's like just this side of unobtainium.
But see, that's the type of thing. Like, I think in Gundam Seed, Gundam is an acronym that is, like, it's the acronym for the name of the operating system in the mobile suit.
Okay. Yeah.
But through all the shows, the Gundams always kind of look, they have the same, like, face.
Yeah, I've noticed that when I look at different Gundams to build, a lot of them are really similar. And the ones that I've picked out that I want to get, don't have that face, and I think they're just like mobile suits or they're other side characters for stuff.
Well, so
like, or just like generic troopers like the Zakus. The Zakus look so cool.
But the thing is, like, so Zeon has the Zaku as like their main soldier mobile suit, but one thing that ties them together is I'd say the vast majority of their mobile suits all have one eye.
Yeah.
Like, so there's a design aesthetic that permeates through the series. You know, the Gundams always look like Gundams. It's easy to identify them no matter which show or anime you're watching. But then the enemy suits always have, you know, some similar designs. Like in Gundam Wing, their mobile suits are called mobile dolls. I don't remember if it's doll, like doll, but they all have their mobile suits, and they all have the bad guys ones always kind of look similar. Do you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it totally does, and that's like a common thing. You want to make the enemy a uniform vastness, and it actively takes away their individual character and it makes you more okay with killing them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind killing stormtroopers. I don't even know if there's a human being in there. That guy didn't have a family, right? You know, by making them part of the uniform vastness, like, whatevs. Mm. But likewise, the flip side's true when you have the protagonists. You want them to be individual so that you can root for the individual and realize that they're people. Which is, I mean, this basic story. So,
yeah.
I didn't know the background between this. I really actually kind of like the, like, the Zeon versus Earth thing that's going on here. So how far is Zeon from Earth? Are they all in Earth orbit, or are these colonies, like, spread throughout the solar system? I couldn't quite figure that out.
Yeah, so it's my understanding that they're pretty close to each other.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they have, like, they don't have, like, faster than light travel or anything like that.
Yeah, and it seems like the way it said that half of the population of all of humanity was destroyed within 1 year. And, I mean, I really like the first couple pages when they're establishing it. And there was the page of when it said, it said something like, all men begin to fear the things that they knew they could do. And it was just one of the stations crashing into, like, New York City or something. It's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That's like, that's not even a bomb. Like, no. Because a bomb would have been too easy. No. A bomb wouldn't have killed enough people. Like, that's just horrendous and atrocious. And those three panels get the entire point across. You don't even need to, you don't need any more detail than that. Just like, okay, this has gone real bad, real fast. And we need a treaty or we're all going to kill each other. And so then it's like, then there's this, what I appreciate is out of that, there's sort of a post-apocalyptic thing going on, because of the war and the atrocities and the ongoing fighting, but there's also the future and building and growth, kind of like, usually when you think of post-apocalyptic, you think of like a Mad Max kind of world. You don't think of a world where you're building space stations for people to live. You know, it's a weird balance between the two. And it makes for a nice backdrop for this war, because then there's a reason to fight, because it's post-apocalyptic and you have all this stuff, but at the same time, there is still that feeling of unlimited resources. So that's probably what makes it a franchise that lasts for so long, because it's, you always have a reason to fight, and you always have stuff to fight with. It's a nice, balanced world for storytelling to happen in.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really cool, Zeon versus Earth. The idea that one of the colonies far up just like, you know what? Nah.
But most of the war Gundams, or the Gundam series that focus on war, are similar to that, where where the space colonies are fighting against Earth, and the sides change. Like, so in here in Universal Century, the protagonists are Earth, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of them are living on stations, but it's Zeon is the Principality of Zeon is like a subsection of space stations, right?
Yeah.
But in Gundam Wing, the Earth is oppressing the space station people, so the Gundams are the heroes of the space stations.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, in this, it doesn't give you a political reason, or it doesn't even necessarily tell you why at all.
No, it doesn't.
They were just like, well, one of them said, fuck this, I'm out. Another one's bugged out, too. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I mean, at a certain point, it doesn't matter, you know? Although it's not that far in the past. If there's a peace treaty, I don't know.
What was weird is, like, I don't know, the way people acted, they all seemed like really vengeful assholes. In that, you know, anytime a squad member died, it makes sense. They're like, okay, you know, we gotta avenge this guy. But there were a few lines of, we're gonna make them pay, and then civilians die. And then you kind of think, well, you know, like, generally, any advanced society, or at least a society advanced enough to be building giant robots, is going to have rules of warfare. And those tend to involve not, like, killing civilians out of funsies and vengeance.
Yeah. So,
I don't know, like, I feel like the whole Civil War, and I know the Civil War pops up all the time. I'm pretty sure Gundam Wing was also based in that, right? It just felt like, to me, a bit tacked on so that we could have robot fights. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and then it seems a little bit antithetical, right? Because it's Zeon versus Earth. So we're obviously at some point in the future where everyone on Earth has united. Which, come on, people. Let's be realistic here. I don't think that's going to happen for a long, long time. Especially, like, unless the Vulcans come, there's always going to be different people. And I don't think there's ever going to be united Earth. Like, so the idea that humanity has progressed to the point where it can have universal peace on the planet Earth. We've gotten pretty good at this whole making peace process. Yeah, I guess it does kind of set up a precedent that it can't follow through with. It's like we're great at peace here, but not here. For I don't know why. Don't gotta say why. Robot fight.
Yeah, and I mean they very well might go into it later. I did not read past the first volume, so I don't know, and I didn't do my wiki research this time, but
Wikipedia does say that eventually there is an extended flashback where you find out how the war starts.
Okay. Because I kind of feel like it's hard to engage with our protagonists. In this, that was kind of... that fucking teenage boy just needs to chill the fuck out.
Amuro, yeah.
He needs to chill, and it's hard to engage with him and root for him, because I feel like the only indicator that... I mean, the other people were obviously bad because they were trying to kill civilians, and Char was extremely villainous in his attire and attitude, but aside from that...
I love his attire. I want that jacket.
He was the best dressed.
Oh my god.
His helmet yes. was amazing. But... Like, so he's dressed like a villain, but I feel like aside from attacking civilians, and we don't know if the Federation has also done this, like, what's to say that we should be rooting for one side over the other, aside from the fact that, well, our protagonists are on this side, because, I don't know, the protagonists didn't... The three girls seemed... nice enough. And
yeah, I like Sayla. I like Fra, which is a weird name. Fra.
Fra Bao. Or some.
Fra yeah, Bao. That's her or name. I looked it up to double check. That's Fra not Bao? Just what that, like, that's not the only thing. It's not just what the little robot ball calls her. That's her actual name, Fra Bao.
I think it's actually Fra Bo.
Fra Bo.
Fra Bo.
Fra Bo. Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
But yeah, that's her name. But it's the future. I mean... They have weird names, then. There's a guy named Char.
Char is cool, though.
But he has a villain name.
He's been tempered by the flames.
Yeah. But I mean, like, so they're okay. The old general guy's okay. Lieutenant General Junior Grade Bright?
Lieutenant like... Junior Grade Bright.
Okay, there we go.
LTJ.
Lieutenant Junior Grade Bright. Seems like an okay fellow, but... I don't know. What are their qualifications for protagonist here?
You know, the biggest problem with this comic is that whenever it got dangerously close to character development, it just cut to a big robot fight. Which, I'm not complaining about. That's pretty much why I read this. To see big robots fight. But at the same time, like, anytime you got dangerously close to knowing more about a character, cut to Zaku's and their heads getting blown off.
And I want to put out there, I did not dislike this comic. I really like robot fights. So
here's the thing about Gundam, right? This was made in 1979.
Yeah.
Originally, right? And the Universal Century storyline in Gundam has I think the latest one in that set in that timeline is Gundam Unicorn. Which was released in, like, I think the last episode came out in, like, 2014.
Yeah.
So the show, the story is not done. And, like, there is a lot of character development as the show goes on. So, because Amuro is a annoying little teenager at the beginning of this, and his qualifications for piloting that is that he read his dad's stuff.
Yeah.
In the office.
The manual.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it's a bit dated. Like, I tried watching the anime recently, and it's really hard.
It's one of those things that I'm sure you have to give credit for what it did to a genre. I mean, what it did for anime, what it did for just Japanese culture at this point, you know? It reminds me, there's a friend of mine who is super into sports, and one of the movies that I love that always makes me cry is Rudy. Have you guys seen Rudy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's from a while ago, and my friend had never seen it, so I made him watch it. He watched it when I wasn't around, though, and he comes back to me the next day, and he's like, nah, it was okay. I was like, it was okay, it's a fantastic movie, and he's like, well, it felt really tropey, you know, like the slow clap, the carrying the guy off the field on his shoulders, the this, the that, and I'm like, though none of those tropes existed before this movie. This movie created those things that everything parodied for the next 20 years. Like, it's not played out here. This is still the original. Like, this is where it comes from. And I think Mobile Suit Gundam is that same way. Like, it feels a little dated, and it's like, okay, yes, giant robot fights are great. I've seen giant robots fights before. But then you kind of have to sit back and be like, wait, before this, there weren't really a lot of giant robot fights.
There was some stuff, but it wasn't like, there's like Mazinger Z. Do you remember, do you know that one? That's a manga from the early 70s where this like kid summons a giant robot and the robot like helps him fight.
It's not like, not like giant Iron Man, like mecha.
Yeah, it was.
It was? He gets in it and stuff? Okay.
I don't know if he gets in it. It's a giant robot that comes and helps him fight. That's considered mecha.
Okay.
Well, in my definition, in my mind, it is considered mecha. But I feel like since Gundam came out, it has totally informed the genre of giant robot fights and stuff.
I like how that sentence started authoritative and ended silly. It has totally defined the genre of giant robot fights.
Well, I mean, even if you go further back in history, there were, there were kids summoning robots to help them fight. Like, was it Gigantor? Was another anime. Is it an anime or a manga? I think it was an anime. It was an animated cartoon in Japan from the 60s. And it's a giant robot. I think the kid has like a remote control. Like, it's like an RC mecha. Right?
I bet they sold a million of those toys.
I don't know if there was actually a remote controlled robot.
I would have bought one.
But the thing is,
or one
now,
of them,
because of Gundam, we have the thing where there's somebody like piloting it inside, they're in the chest, and that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. So.
Yes.
Huh.
Well, I mean, there are other examples, like there was a Mechagodzilla, right? That came out before.
Yeah, that's
Mobile
true.
Suit Gundam,
yeah.
Right? He's a mecha.
Yeah. Legit, it's in his name. He has to be a mecha.
But he wasn't piloted, you know. He was just a robot.
Giant robot. So
he was controlled from space. Anyways.
I'm trying to figure how I want to transition into talking about character. But I'm trying to think of, like, good character-building scenes. And I can only think of one or two. One of the scenes that, like, stood out to me the most was when Sayla, the badass woman, like, just leaves those two jackasses by the side of the road.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, you're going to be a dick? I have a gun. Bye. Good luck getting off of this station before it blows up, asshole.
I want to say, those guys were terrible. I don't know if what they did warranted death.
I don't. But that, I think that's why that's good character development. Sayla's like, no, if you're going to be a dickbag, especially when we're going around trying to be nice, trying to save people who are injured, trying to help you, and you're going to be an asshole? No. Sorry, you're left to your own fate. Like, I'm trying to help you, and no. Like, she's obviously a little severe, but there's good reasons for it, I want to say. Well, maybe not good reasons. There's a reason for it. She's never just a dick.
I guess if your colony is being wiped out and you can only rescue so many people, you want the cooperative ones.
Well, and also, I mean, it might be a matter of we can stay and argue with these guys and try to get them to cooperate and try to get them into this ambulance, and then maybe we'll miss the ship, and then we all die anyway. I mean, it might be one of those, like, there's not time for this, and we're going to go because you guys are being assholes, so die. It's hard to tell, because at the same time, Fra just, like, raises her eyebrows and gets back in the ambulance. Alright. Was there a scene of character building that you guys remembered in this? Because honestly, there's a lot of robot fighting.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably some scenes where you could kind of argue, like, maybe when the captain dies and he kind of is like a third-person character development. He's kind of, when he's talking to the Admiral after they leave Luna 2, he's kind of, like, justifying the fact that all these rookies and civilians are now, you know, taking control of White Base and the Gundam, right? And I mean, that's not really character development, but it's kind of, it's like, hey, you know, he's talking to the Admiral, but he's also kind of talking to the reader and saying, like, don't worry, these people can, you know, I believe in them.
They can do it.
Yeah.
And he's established that that's his kind of personality to begin with. Like, in earlier on, he's like, all right, Bright, you're in charge. And Bright's like, I'm really low ranking to be in charge. I don't know if I should be doing this, dude. But then as soon as he says, yeah, you'll be fine, you got this, he just totally takes the reins and goes with them. Like, Bright just, by the end, I think he's gone a little bit power to his head. But then he's just like, all right, fine, another stupid civilian. Come on, more the merrier.
But I don't think he's like, he's trying to grab power to be, like, a dictator, right?
No, I get the
idea that, he's trying so hard to do a good job that it's making him do a bad job.
Yeah, he's trying so hard to do a good job, he's coming off as a little over-authoritative.
I don't think he's doing a bad job.
Well, I think he's using a little bit of a heavy hand for civilians, I would think. I don't know. But okay, that's where he'll have to grow, too.
I'm ready to rant.
Okay.
So, for me, the character building spot was Amuro at the end, where he comes back and he's basically like, you don't like the way I do it, too fucking bad. Well, you are some random fucking teenage kid who climbed into a robot unauthorized.
Because you happened to be there.
When the fate of hundreds of people who are fleeing this colony rests on your head, you have to think about everybody else and not just proving yourself or engaging with the robots because it's very cool or because, you know, you are so strong and you can take out two of them easily. He was ridiculous. He was utterly ridiculous in his behavior where he just shrugs off Bright's authority because it's like, who the fuck is this kid? Yeah, his dad designed the Gundam, but he's not a qualified Gundam operator. And he's just, like, he has this huge amount of responsibility and he's an utter shit about it. I hated this kid.
Thank you. And then everybody he ever fights against is talking about how he's such a rookie. And he just is like, well, I just took out two of them. Like, it was nothing. I just killed so many of them. But at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure that he won those fights not because he's a good fighter, but because the Gundam is so much stronger than the Zaku's.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It had nothing to do with his piloting ability.
They didn't expect him to have a lightsaber.
Yeah.
And it's a just
beam sword.
Beam like, saber. Really,
it still had saber in the name. Yeah.
It drove me nuts when Bright's like, look, dude, we don't even have replacement parts. This was a prototype. And the kid's like, well, fuck you. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
Dude.
He was a little shit before he even got in the fucking thing, too. When, like, his room is a mess and Fraw's there. He's like, I just cleaned this up. And he's like, eh, whatever. Get back to cleaning. I don't know. He just seemed... Yeah.
This is actually the thing that gets me, and it's the idea that we have to assume that our protagonist is going to either be an anti-hero or a hero. And it seems like he's being set up to be a hero, like in the traditional tropey sense. But I don't feel like hacking into your dad's computer and stealing robot access codes qualifies you for heroics. It takes more than that on a personality level and an action level. And I fully admit he's very brave in what he does. He did save a lot of lives, but he's a snotty teenager. And yeah, it's a frustrating trait in a protagonist.
When you say he saved a lot of lives, I think that's arguable. Because a better pilot, the second the Zaku he kills, that he cuts in half and blows up the reactor, is what causes the second gargantuan reaction on Side 7.
True.
A better pilot would have fucking known that from years of fighting against Zakus and not endanger the entire station. At that point, the clock of evacuation just accelerated a whole hell of a lot. Because he's an inexperienced idiot kid.
Dang,
I
Andy.
Don't think he saved lives. No, I was here nor there, but Jen has totally swayed me. And I realized when he was fighting Char, I was like, Char and Justice Zaku. But Char is a good pilot, apparently. This would be an interesting fight. And I found myself rooting for Char because he was the underdog. Because sure, Amuro is a shitty pilot, but his Gundam to this point is so overpowered it never mattered. And finally, we're at somebody who's like, okay, I'm smart enough of a pilot and I'm experienced enough of a pilot. I can recognize that I'm outgunned and I have to do this smarter and use my maneuverability to my advantage. And Char gets the upper hand for the majority of the fight. And that's the way it's supposed to go. And even though he was underpowered, I was rooting for him. I liked Char because of his stupid hat. He looks cool.
I like Char too. You know, and also his... He has, like, this wonderful nonchalance of, like, well, I guess, you know, I think it was a general or someone is going to chew me out for this, so well.
Yeah.
But he also, you kind of get the sense that he does want to avenge his squad member dudes, and
yeah.
I don't know, he seems all right. I will say, during that fight was the telling moment for me with Amuro, when one of the comms people tells him, hey, you're almost out of power. And he goes, you don't need to tell me that. I know what's happening. And then he goes, oh, God, I'm out of power. And it's like, don't yell at the rando mechanic dude. Or it was just that the hubris behind it, that it was in that moment I was like, I really...
Don't tell me. I've read the manual.
Yeah.
Great.
What puzzled me, I mean, it was really fun to watch him fight in the robot, and it was done in an entertaining fashion, but why did they continue to let him? I know the one guy who was supposed to do it died, but did they have no other suitable replacement?
Well, because if you put this Gundam is so much stronger than the Zaku's. If you put a qualified pilot in this Gundam, then you don't have much story left. So
I understand the narrative drive, but what is the practical drive for the general or Bright?
I think they don't have any pilots who are there isn't anybody who is officially qualified to pilot the Gundam, and Amuro did a good enough job.
And has read the manual.
Because
I'm saying that half joking, but honestly, if he's read the entire manual on how to use this thing and all the other pilots are dead, that does put him as probably the most qualified to fly the thing.
Well, the actual pilot was killed when when the Zaku's attacked Side 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's not anybody else.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And I mean, you could say, I mean, all, this is also narratively, you're going to see him become a better pilot of the Gundam as he's fighting more or better Zaku's. So then you're going to get that he's growing with the story, and as he's learning how to use the Gundam better, it'll fight better, and the story can escalate. Like, narrative-wise, that makes sense, too. But also, I mean, how to put this? Like, if you have a young person that you believe in or that shows some talent, you want to give them all the tools possible. Like, I work at a university and I hire students, and when I hire a student, I give them the newest computer to work on at the office because they're going to be with me for a while, and I want them to have the best tool they can have when they start so that it's theirs and they can grow into it and use it. And maybe there's a piece of that here too, like he is bonding with and working with this Gundam. I don't know. Maybe that's like the best explanation I can pull out of my ass for why they're letting him do this. That, and if all of the other pilots are dead, then he would be the most qualified. But there's another mobile suit in the bay when they launch him.
Oh yeah.
So I get the feeling there's multiple mobile suit pilots.
Well, because. Towards, how much did you guys read the whole, all of Volume 1, right? Where they get to Earth.
Five issues.
End?
Yeah. Five issues, going towards Earth, yeah.
No, wait, so you didn't get to the part where they get to Earth?
No, they don't land on Earth in this volume.
Oh. In my version, they do. Oh, they don't land, but they make it into Earth's atmosphere.
Oh. No, not in this one.
Okay, so
maybe
did you
I think
see-
you read too far.
Well, I have a different copy than you guys. I have a hardback version of it.
Oh, maybe I didn't read enough. I read it on the Comics Walker or Comic Walker, which apparently is an app put out by the publisher of the book where they have a full art or full color scans with official translations for totally free. It was a good app. I didn't.
Oh.
But it so anyways, was only 5 chapters. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
Mine, so the way mine is broke up into sections, and there's 8.
Oh.
So there's prologue, and then there's sections 1 through 8. It's like 400 pages.
We read 1 through 5.
Okay. So did you guys see the part where they... Did you get to the part where they go to Luna 2, and they have to use the other mobile suits?
Nope.
No.
Okay. So there's a part where... Amuro is really pouty, and they haven't finished doing maintenance on the Gundam. So he doesn't go out and fight, but they need to fight. So Char is getting resupplied because he lost 3 mobile suits, 3 Zakus, and he's getting resupplied by another ship. And White Base decides they're going to sneak up on them and attack them while they're resupplying. And so they send out 3 gun cannons and 3 gun tanks. And the pilots are, there's only 2 actual military people who are, end up being like pilots. And everybody else is like mechanics or civilians, who have like relevant experience. So like the gun tank has a pilot and a gunner, and the pilot is an actual military guy. We see him in Side 7. I forget where exactly we see him, but,
he's the dick bag by the side of the road.
No. He's like a big guy. His name is like Jose. His name is Ryu Jose. But anyways, so he trains, Amuro and Fra's friend Hayato on how to fire the guns on the gun tank. So he gets to be the gunner on that, and
gun tanks look sick too, by the way.
Yeah. And then when they're leaving side seven, there's a guy that Sayla slaps, who's like an annoying guy.
Yeah.
He ends up piloting one of the gun cannons, but he really sucks at it. And so when he comes back, they're like, oh my god, that guy fucked this Gundam up. Like, the head is all smashed and stuff. But he survived because the gun tank guys save him. But, so they just like have Sayla. To, like...
She makes good decisions about people.
They kind of just have to, like... They're like, okay, you... That's fine, you can do it. It's like in Aliens. You know, in the movie Aliens, when Ripley pilots the power loader in the beginning. And she's like, oh yeah, I did that. And then, or like in Star Wars where Owen Lars is buying 3PO, or yeah, when he's buying 3PO and he goes, I need someone who could speak the binary language of evaporators. And he goes, oh, my first assignment was doing
binary loadlators.
Yeah. And so it's like that. It's like these people, like the pilot, she's never flown a military aircraft, but she is licensed to fly a giant ship. So they're like, okay, you can do it. Because the guy who was piloting it before was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
That was so funny. He was like, I don't know.
So that's kind of the whole thing with, at the beginning of Gundam is there's, the ship is full of like junior officers and enlisted people and a bunch of civilians.
It's just, and it's most just the general makeup of the ship.
Yeah, because a bunch of them were off the ship when the Zaku's attacked and got killed. Right?
Yeah, and then the crew is supplemented by the people that they rescue from Side 7, so it's not like... And then I imagine they have to, well, like they end up re-entering Earth's atmosphere, but they have to get all the way back to Earth to figure shit out again.
Yeah, and so what happens? I don't know if you want me to spoil it for you or no.
No, no, because I'm going to keep reading. I have it for free.
Okay, I won't tell you what happened.
It's free in the app. I'm going to read all of it.
Yeah. Okay. So I won't tell you.
Okay. So then, how about we rate this? Because we do have fight night tonight. Let's get down to rating this.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to go first. I'm going to give this, honestly, a 3.5. I almost said 4. I'm going to go 3.5 because the art is really, really pretty. And we didn't talk about it at all. But this specific edition, and if you read the online through the app, the Comic Walker app from the publisher, it's like a watercolory kind of coloring that they do that just looks awesome. And it really stands out in contrast to a lot of Gundam stuff. Like, Gundam stuff is usually hard lines and color with sheens to make it look metallic and cool. But here, there's, like, the watercolory kind of thing gives it this sort of wild feel and a lot of tone and texture that's missing when you watch and read a lot of other Gundam stuff. And it works so good. I really, really like the art in this. And I'm giving it a lot of points for having great art, which is important when the majority of the comic is two robots fighting and there's not a whole lot of character development or plot. Like, this is super basic plot and there's not a lot of character development here. And some of the characters are, like, real people and, you know, Amaru's a bit of a pouty bitch and in the real world there's pouty bitches and that happens. And then there are people like Sayla, who you just root for, even though they make maybe harsh decisions sometimes. But, yeah, I'm going to give it a 3.5, mostly because of the art, and it looked really good with fighting robots. Basically, I came into this wanting to see robots fight, and I got exactly what I wanted. So 3.5.
So, Andy, was the whole thing in color on the app?
Yeah, the whole thing is in color on the app.
It's so really nice.
I have the version that you linked in Amazon, Andy, and it's not all in color. Probably like a quarter, maybe less than a quarter of it is in color.
Oh man, download the app and check it out. It is sick. Check it out. I'll update the page on the website and link to the app as well, just because it's great. So how about you go then, David?
I'm gonna also give it a 3.5. I think. You know, even though it's not in color, the art is really good in this. The storyline is okay, but,
it's not why you're here. You know,
yeah, this is like a seminal work in anime, particularly in the manga genre, or excuse me, mecha genre. So If you want to get into Gundam, I don't know if this is the best starting place. My recommendation would be to start with Gundam Wing. Just watch Gundam Wing. And then kind of go from there. Because I think that's a much better starting place. But this is a very important work because, you know, mecha, there's so many shows, mecha shows that are popular today that owe a lot to Gundam. Neon Genesis Evangelion is one. Something, a newer example is Knights of Cydonia. Have you guys seen Knights of Cydonia?
Ooh, no, but I've heard of it.
That's a, it's a mecha show. And, you know, it's very similar to Gundam. I mean, it's not very similar, but, you know, it's informed by Gundam. So I think it, you know, even though I'm giving it 3.5 and I don't necessarily recommend it as your, as a starting point for Gundam, it's important to recognize the importance of it.
The Rudy effect.
Yeah. Sure. 3.5
All right. Jen?
I'm going to give this a 2.5 And I will say this. I did not give myself enough time to read this. And that definitely affected it. It's not like this was very text heavy, but I feel like when you have less text and your story is mostly told through images, it requires a more careful reading. So I will say I did not do it the justice of that. It was beautifully done in terms of the visual storytelling. It was indeed lacking in character development, but I also feel like they're doing a really nice job of doing an ensemble cast and getting them together. It almost gave me like a Star Trek vibe with their command center, which I thought was really cool. And of course, giant robot fights. But I don't know, maybe it just didn't resonate with me. But I think that it was of high artistic and storytelling quality in terms of like, how it conveyed events. So, yeah, 2.5
All right. Let's do Fight Night.
Fight Night. Round one.
Fight Night is brought to you by Patreon. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics Become a patron today. Interact with us. Say hi. Tell us what you want us to read next. Tell us what you want to do next in like Facebook. We can play quotes next. We can do whatevs. Or if there's a game that you want to play that we haven't thought of, fucking tell us. And we'll be your buddies on Patreon if you become a patron at patreon.com/welcometocomics So, Fight Night. The rules for Fight Night. Each one of us is going to pick a champion. There's going to be a topic. You'll get 2 minutes to argue your case. And then at the end, once everybody's argued their case, we all vote on who is the better person in this round of Fight Night. And you can't vote for yourself. And the person with the most points wins. And if there's a tie, everybody gets a point. So the topic this week is best non-Gundam giant mech/robot. Alright, so this could be a whole bunch of things. Transformers, Voltron, Neon Genesis Evangelion stuff. Attack on Titan I even would do because they're basically flesh mechas. If that's
spoiler.
It's a weird thing. Oh, come on. It's serious like three spoilers. Episodes in. Come on. Come on. Plus we did a thing on Attack on Titan. Not that spoiler. Okay. So, I'm going to go first, and I'm going to go with Big O. Have either of you guys watched Big O?
I'm a big fan of Big O.
So, Big O. Big O is a mecha, basically piloted by noir version of Batman in a post-apocalyptic world where everybody has forgotten their identity, but this guy is still Batman. And he has a robot maid and a butler and... all of the fighting, all of Big O, the best thing about Big O is all of the fighting is rocket punches. There's no beam swords, no beam cannons, no anything over the shoulder. It's all rocket punches by Noir Batman. Bam.
He even has like a Batmobile car.
He does. Cool. He totally does. It's sick.
I shouldn't be helping you.
No, you should. Big O. Big O.
Round two.
So this was not what I originally put down, but I audibled at the end, right before we started. I'm going to go with the Mecha Godzilla, and I'm going to go with the very specific version of him. So this is Mecha Godzilla from Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla 2 from 1993, which is part of the Heisei Godzilla universe. So for those of you who don't know, there's three different Godzilla timelines, and Heisei is the second one. But think, like, this Mechagodzilla was one of the Jaegers before there were Jaegers. Before we got Pacific Rim. He was designed specifically to kick the shit out of Godzilla. He's giant. He's a giant robot monster. He's piloted. He's got all kinds of cool weapons, and he's pretty much a badass. He's got a jetpack that can fly around on its own, or he can wear it, and then he's got shoulder cannons. He's awesome. I don't know what else to say.
All right, then.
Round three.
The question here is, how spoilery do I want to get?
I don't care. Do it.
You don't care?
Nope.
Okay. Okay, so for listeners, spoiler warning for Neon Genesis Evangelion. Just cover your ears if you don't want to know things. So, Evas are giant robots, but rather than just being piloted, they are mentally controlled, which gives very precise fighting capability. They are capable of taking out divine beings. They are capable of transforming into divine beings because they are made from materials, from angels. And if you don't want a whiny 14-year-old piloting your Eva, because it requires a 14-year-old pilot, they also come with a pretty okay autopilot system called the dummy plug. So, you know, if you hate Shinji, you don't need to use him.
Okay. Man, David, I am really surprised that you didn't do Pacific Rim. I'm going to vote first, because I had Cherno. If you'd have gone with Cherno Alpha or, what's the Chinese one with three arms?
Crimson Typhoon.
Oh, man, those are sick.
I love Pacific Rim.
Not Strike Eureka, though. He's a bitch.
Well.
David, you're going to get my point anyway. Because you reminded me that Mechagodzilla had a jetpack. And if you're building a giant Mechagodzilla, why not just put jets in it? Give it a jetpack. Yeah.
And it's like literally a backpack.
Yeah, it's a backpack. You built a giant machine. Why not just give it, you know, flight capabilities? No, give it a jetpack. Jetpacks are cool, so David gets my point. Jen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I also got a vote for David on this one. There's just not too much cooler than Mechagodzilla. I wish I had remembered that one first.
Aww.
I wish you had gone with the original, the Power Rangers one.
Yeah, I was gonna originally go with the Dragon Zord from Power Rangers, but I changed my mind.
The reason I changed my mind is...
Because I didn't think I could successfully argue about the Dragon Zord, because I don't really remember, like, what it does or anything. I know it's controlled
That makes it really hard to argue for.
I remember that it's controlled by a flute that's also a sword.
That's right.
See, you're already winning this argument, too.
Well, I should have saved that for next.
David, who would your point have been for? Who gets the pity point, me or Jen?
I really like Big O, but I would have gone with Jen because although I didn't love, I haven't seen all of Eva, but the Evas themselves are pretty badass. I mean, they're plugged in, like there's a power cord coming out of them until they get really pissed off, and then they unplug themselves and go fucking berserk and kill these divine creatures with a knife, because that's how badass they are. So I would have definitely gone with an Ava.
All right.
Big O's cool.
Nor Batman.
Dude, I love Big O.
Big O is one of those ones that people don't watch or people don't know exists, but I really like Big O.
I really like it.
Good.
All right.
We can have a Big O conversation. So first point is for David.
Winner, David.
Of course.
Yeah.
The streak. The streak of winning is alive.
Next I'm trying to get a dynasty going here.
Maybe. Next week, we're going to start off. Actually, we're going to read Gundam Build Fighters, episode 1 to 6. I'm calling an audible. It was going to be a different one next. Yeah, so next week is going to be Gundam Build Fighters, episode 1 to 6. What we're going to do for the next three episodes is feature each of the Gundams that we're building for the Super Welcome to Sugoi Comics Mega Gundam Building Throwdown. So next week is going to feature Zaku Amazing. And we watch Gundam Build Fighters episodes 1 to 6 of the anime. 1 to 6. That's next week. I'm excited for that.
Oh, I just wanted to say it's really easy to watch it because if you're in the U.S., I assume this is okay with other countries too, but if you go on YouTube and go to youtube.com/GundamInfo, it's the official Gundam YouTube channel, and they have the entire Build Fighters series subtitled in English.
Oh, awesome.
Free to watch. So check it out. I'll make sure Andy links it on the website so it's easy for you guys to get to.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's next week with Zaku Amazing. Is that a certain kind of Zaku? Is it like Char's Zaku? Or
it's,
is it just
so
Zakus are amazing?
The base model is Char's Zaku, but it's modified by what's his name? Yuki Tatsuya. That's the character who pilots the Zaku Amazing. Sick. And so Tatsuya, he kind of always calls, it's like his thing to call his Gundams or his mobile suit something amazing. So later he has Camp for Amazing, and then he has another one that's something amazing. It's just kind of his deal.
Nice. Okay, that's next week. Gundam Build Fighters, episode 1 to 6. Until then, everybody, goodbye.
Goodbye.